Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630.
Don't you always want to be the best you can be?
The Frankie Boyer Show.
What is this?
It's more than a lifestyle show.
It's a show about living in today's world.
I think something is happening.
Frankie enthusiastically brings an amazing eclectic mix to the airwaves.
You got that right.
One of the reasons she's earned legions of loyal fans is very simple. When you listen to the Frankie Boyer Show, you just never know what's going to happen next.
So listen for yourself.
Here is Frankie Boyer.
And welcome. It is so nice to have you with us on Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com. And our first guest today was an editor at the New York Times. He has written for The New Yorker, The New York Times Magazine, Sports Illustrated, many more publications. He is the author of The Limit, Life and Death on the 1961 Grand Prix Circuit. But his new book, you couldn't make this up. This is such an interesting retro look at terrorism in the very early stages, because the scene is 1950, and a schizophrenic man suffering from schizophrenia, obviously not thinking the way you or I would ever think, had a grudge. That grudge grew, and he started to bomb New York City. And what's so fascinating about this story, and Michael Canal is, of course, the author. Michael, welcome to the program. But what's so fascinating about your story is that I don't ever remember hearing about this man or his bombings in New York City.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And yes, that's a very interesting point. This serial bomber brought New York City to its knees in the 1950s, and he gave America its first real case of sense of terrorism. Domestic terrorism, anyway.
Yes, yes.
And yet we don't really know his story, and I think it raises questions about our memory for violence. We tend to think that 9/11 was the beginning of terrorism in this country, but it really wasn't. In the 1950s, this serial bomber, known as the Mad Bomber of New York, brought New York into a state of absolute anxiety. People were scared to go into stores. They were scared to go to movie theaters. They eyed each other with suspicion on the streets and on the subways.
Amazing. How did you find this Mad Bomber? How did you find out about him and the psychiatrist in this whole story? How did this book, the newest book, come about?
Well, let me answer that by mentioning that I once heard a great writer named Paul Henriksen speak. He wrote a book called Hemingway's Boat, which I admire very much. I heard him speak at a writer's conference. I don't normally go to writer's conference. It's not really my thing, but I happened to be there. And in that speech, he said, writers can't find book subjects. Book subjects have to find writers.
Oh, I love that.
And I remember
yeah.
thinking at the time, that's the it sounds kind of like the, you know, stuff that writers say. But I actually have come to really think that that's true. So to answer your question, you mentioned my previous book, The Limit, which was set in the 1950s. I was in the New York Public Library doing research for that book I was reading an Argentine newspaper on microfilm, and they happened to have a headline in that newspaper about the Mad Bomber of New York. I had never heard of him. And I just, it sounds strange to say, but I had a funny hunch that that was going to be my next project. And so I went to read about this serial bomber and the extraordinary group of New Yorkers who chased him and finally caught him. And it just seemed like I was reading the script of a movie. It just had that quality. It had the quality of a Netflix series.
Yeah,
but all
yeah.
true.
Mhm, mhm. And so I'm just going through the book right now, and you used the quote from the doctor, "Everybody has a hunch occasionally." I love that.
Yeah, what happened is that the bomber was setting off bombs in public places in New York for more than a decade, and the police couldn't catch him, and finally, in desperation, they went to consult a psychiatrist, something that the police had never done before in New York. And they were hoping that the psychiatrist could give the police some insight. And in fact, what he gave them was what we now call a profile, a criminal profile. And the reason that quote about him saying hunch is significant is that we think today of profiling as being a science, and I suppose it really is a science. But for this amazing man who was the psychiatrist at that time, he believed that profiling was at least partially about intuition. It was at least partially about a hunch. He looked at all of the evidence, and on the spot, he kind of conjured an image of who the bomber was, and it proved to be unbelievably accurate.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so tell us about the title. Tell us about how long it took after the initial reading and went of that old 1950s newspaper in the library when you realized that this was going to be the next book.
Well, I guess it took about 3 years to actually write it and report it and write it, probably a little bit more. I try to write in a style that is known as narrative nonfiction. That's a style that is most commonly associated with Laura Hillenbrand, who wrote Seabiscuit and Unbroken, and with a great writer named Eric Larson, who wrote Devil in the White City. It's nonfiction. It's history. It's journalism. It's all true. But I try to write it in a way that is informed by fiction. In other words, I try to shape it like a novel. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, it has to have a kind of visual quality. Reading a book of narrative nonfiction should be like a little bit like watching a movie. And in order to do that, you need to know a whole lot more than you would otherwise know. You need to know the atmosphere. You need to know what people were wearing. You need to know what they were thinking. And so there is a huge amount of research that goes into it, and then the job of writing is to try to, you know, to really bring the reader into the scene.
Right. How did you come up with the title?
Well, the title came to me very, very early on, and it seemed like the right title to me because, of course, incendiary refers to the homemade bombs that this paranoid schizophrenic was making in his garage behind his home. But incendiary, in a larger sense, refers to the sense of the time, I suppose. This was the 1950s in New York. It was New York at high tide, New York at its most prosperous, America at its most prosperous. And yet there was a kind of ticking time bomb feeling to the 1950s. We were headed into the darkest stretch of the Cold War. It was a period of anxiety. It was a period when mushroom clouds were appearing on the front page of newspapers and on the evening news. And so hopefully incendiary has a kind of double meaning.
Yeah, I love the cover, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I can't take credit for the cover. The publisher produced the cover, but people seem to really like it, and a bunch of people have mentioned it to me. It's a beautiful, it starts with a beautiful photograph of Grand Central Station, and it suggests the way in which this bomber was a sort of an anonymous figure, almost like a ghost in the crowd.
Yeah. It really is amazing photography. And it also sets the stage for the book. You kind of want to... It really should probably become a movie. Who knows what will happen, but...
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice to have your book made into a movie.
Of course.
Absolutely. Now, are you on to your next project?
1 minute.
I am, yeah. I'm beginning work on... a book that I hope to write about the origins of the oil and gas industry in Texas. Hopefully more interesting than that sounds, but
it does sound interesting.
Nonfiction.
Thank you so much, Michael Canal, and the best website is
michaelcanell.com. That last name is spelled CANNELL. michaelcanell.com.
Thank you, Michael. What a pleasure. And we will be back in a moment. This is Frankie Boyer, BizTalk Radio. Stay tuned.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
This is Frankie Boyer. Joining me today is Keith Morey, founder of Super Good Stuff. They are the makers of functional products, products that we need to function better in the world. One of those products is an MSM formula. And Keith, it is such a powerful formula. What exactly is MSM and who needs it?
MSM, as far as I'm concerned, is the third most powerful product in the world. The reason for that, it's 34% sulfur, and sulfur is the third most used chemical in the body, and it helps with hair, nails, skin, knees, back, joints. It works on everything in the body. As I said, it's the third most powerful product in the world.
For more information about the MSM that Super Good Stuff makes, contact them directly at 949-651-6355. That's 949-651-6355. Supergoodstuff.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570.
800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, and we are now joined by the author of The Healthy Workplace, Lee Stringer. And Lee, welcome. It is a pleasure to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Frankie.
You know a lot about wellness, and you've been contributing, you've contributed to the research to the Harvard School of Public Health for their new Health and Human Performance Index. And you have some really great, great information that we need to hear. And you say that there are 10 bad habits that should be banned from the workplace forever.
Yes. I could come up with a few more, but that's the short list.
Okay, so give us a couple of them.
So one of the big ones that we are pretty horrible at is eating poorly in the workplace.
Yes.
Just to pick on that for a minute. I don't know about you, but I often will find myself, or have in the past, just, you know, packed in a lunch and just eating it right at my desk, staring at a computer, not even thinking about it, which is so horrible for taking in calories. We take in more calories when we're not paying attention and we're not mindful of what we're eating. And we also are much more likely to just not take that mental break that we need during the day. And
mm-hmm.
I think also, you know, because we're working so hard, we're pushing through, we're working on those deadlines, we're in our flow, and we forget to eat sometimes. And that is not good either. And the idea is, you know, eating every 2 to 4 hours and having snacks and being a little more proactive is a much better way of doing it. Because if you wait till you're hungry, you're going to go eat those donuts or race home and eat the most unhealthy thing in your kitchen that you can find.
Yes, I think you're probably right. I mean, I work out of my home, so it's a little different for me. But, you know, it's so interesting because one of my dear friends works in a very large office, and she said the lunchroom, the break room, whatever you all call it, is filled. I mean, it's like a minefield. You have to, like, navigate because there's just so much junk that people bring in. And it is the donuts.
Yeah.
It is the muffins. It is the leftover birthday cake from the party that, you know, they want it out of the house, so they bring it into the office so everyone else can eat it. It is the leftover stuff that no one wanted or was too decadent or whatever. And so there you are, hungry, you're, you know, frustrated, having a tough day, and you walk in and there it is right there. It's hard to say no to that.
It is. And so what a number of organizations are doing, you can also try this at home, for those who work at home like you, but it's this theory of choice architecture. Which came out, Cass Sunstein and lots of other who write about nudges talk about this. But food, if it's presented in a certain way, in front and center, for example, unhealthy foods, you're much more likely to grab that versus grab something that's more healthy, but it's behind a cabinet. You know, in the grocery store, the great example of choice architecture is the end of the aisle. vendors pay a premium for the end of the aisle or the checkout counter because that's where your eye goes most of the time. So a lot of cafeterias in corporate America are starting to rearrange the food so that there are healthy options at the checkout counter, like bananas or nuts or bars or things like that.
Yes.
Not all that candy.
You know,
and
I
also,
have to...
presenting
I have to
them,
just,
you know, throughout just healthy choices, period. You know, it's all good.
I have to tell you that I was so shocked. I just got back from London, and I was shocked at how healthier the fast food stores. I was so impressed with them. My friend and I were like, this is amazing, the choices. Vegetarian choices and healthy choices and not a lot of crap and not a lot of processed foods.
Yep, and we're just going to have to vote with our feet and start, you know, being buying more of it and insisting that our food providers are better about it too. Another example, this is from a pretty large organization. I thought this was very clever. They had, you know, when you order food for your lunch or dinner or
yes.
meeting
mm-hmm.
For an organization, and often the choices are pretty bad. It's like pizza or, you know, sandwiches
yeah.
with lots of bread and things like that. And so they've really started to change it so they're more healthy vendors on the selection list. But they also have this thing called healthy celebrations, where if it's somebody's birthday, they will bring, like, little chocolates, but they're tiny. Tiny little chocolates and dark chocolate, right? So it's a little more healthier, and you just take the one little piece, and you feel like, yay, I celebrated, but I didn't eat that massive piece of cake that someone brought in for the night before.
Well, and that makes sense, because for some people, and I noticed this once again at the theater in London, ice cream is really big there, and they serve ice cream during intermission. And so, but they're tiny. They're so small. It's like Americans would laugh at the size of what they're being sold. It's a tiny little, like 3 or 4 bites, and that's it.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's all your body needs, and it. I think the other thing we do is we wait to eat for a meal every 6 or 8 hours, and that's too long. Your body naturally gets hungry more often than that. So having just 100 calorie little snack bar in between meals is a savior from keeping us from, you know, gorging when we get that big old plate full of stuff in front of us.
So in your book, The Healthy Workplace, you really talk about this wellness. You talk about these little tips and tricks that we can do to really help because, you know, cumulatively, if you wouldn't mind talking about this, because this is what it's all about. It's not the occasional day, Lee. It's the day that turns into weeks, that turns into months. And the next thing you know, this has become a pattern that you're eating all of these foods.
No, it's true. And it's those everyday patterns that lock us in and make us, you know, eating more calories than we know we need. There was an interesting study I saw looking at the last 50 years and just looking at the types of jobs that we have now versus, 50 years ago, what our grandparents had. We're eating more calories and we're burning fewer of them just because of the nature of our work. We're more sedentary. It's just we're doing more knowledge work, more service-oriented work. We're not doing that heavy labor anymore. And you know, regardless of your personality type, just your job alone kind of indicates that we need fewer calories. And, you know, the calories we do take in, we want to make sure that there's a lot of nutrition in them and not
right.
just sugar. I
right.
will say one of the other big things, yes, for a couple of examples, and the other big example is sitting. And we talk about it all the time. Sitting is the new smoking. It's certainly
yes.
the media is a big deal. But it's so interesting how when we're sitting for very, very long periods of time, and it's perceived to be a good thing. And it is good if we're getting a lot of work done, but standing regularly throughout the day and moving are also important. Again,
yeah, they are.
Support just
they are.
Health.
Absolutely. There's so much more information. And what's the best website and how can people find out more about the work that you're doing, Lee?
Well, you can go to leestringer.com, and it's L-E-I-G-H, Stringer, like it sounds, .com. And I try and put the latest research on all things health and wellness on my website. And then you can also purchase The Healthy Workplace on Amazon.com or anywhere books are sold.
All right. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back. This is Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned. This is Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com.
Hi, this is Ellie Cullen, registered nurse, author of Normal Blood Test Scores Aren't Good Enough, and founder of Your Future Health. Recently, Fox and NBC News featured Marcia Yeager's testimonial. She broke four inline skating records, won many national titles, and was inducted into the Roller Skating Hall of Fame. Then suddenly, she became ill and her life changed.
I have trained and competed in two marathons, the X Games and the World Games for inline speed skating. You can imagine my surprise when I found myself in the hospital 2 years ago with blood clots and ulcer-like lesions on my toes. I was sent home and told that my symptoms defied diagnosis. Desperate, I called Your Future Health. My health print showed me which foods and supplements I needed more and less of, and my omega-3 profile showed me that I had a severe deficiency in omega-3 fatty acids. And today, I'm feeling better than ever. Your Future Health literally saved my life.
Call Your Future Health at 877-468-6934 or visit yourfuturehealth.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Hey there, did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop, for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer, and this is Biz Talk Radio, biztalkradio.com. And joining me now is an unbelievable, it's just an unbelievable story. The story that, you know, we hear about people that have been refugees that have been taken from their home. But how often do you hear about a refugee's quest to reclaim her nation's stolen heritage? That's exactly what our next guest has done. She has written a book. It's called The Icon Hunter. And Tasula Hajiafi is with us today. And it is such a pleasure, Tasula, to have you with us. Tell us the story, because it is a heart-wrenching story.
Thank you very much, Frankie, and thank you for having me on your show. And I apologize for my difficult name, Tasula Hajiafi, but you're doing very well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Well, I felt I have to write The Icon Hunter with Kathy Barrett, the lady from the U.S. who helped me. And the reason I wanted to do that is because I understood after many, many years where I got involved into the underworld of art trafficking by accident, and trying to bring antiquities back to my country, I understood what I was doing years later. And I understood by reflection that my inability to go back home as a refugee from Famagusta in Cyprus is what was driving me to take back these looted antiquities from our churches in the occupied part of Cyprus, and that gave me a sense of justice for what I lost. So it was also a healing process for my inability to go back home. So I understand very well how refugees feel today, especially those kids out there from Syria and Iraq, because I was one of those at 14 mm-hmm. years old when the Turkish invasion took place in Cyprus in 1974.
In 2012, you founded Walk of Truth.
Yes.
Tell us about the Walk of Truth.
Okay. I think there are a lot of work done by different international organizations and people in protecting cultural heritage. But I felt that what is missing is the understanding of the value that cultural heritage, religious or historic, has to ordinary citizens around the world, especially the ones of us in conflict zones or areas of war. So I thought bringing these antiquities was my walk of truth. And if I was to set up such a platform and engage citizens from all around the world and use my experience and share my network to empower refugees, immigrants, diaspora, and correct human beings to protect the cultural heritage of Syria, of Yemen, of Iraq, then we are shifting conscience about the value these treasures have to each and every one of us. And maybe we will be much more careful when we buy them and hang them on our walls as properties, because they hold such an emotional value to us, who is part of identities. You see, when a community is at conflict or war, or when you go abroad, it destroys the identity of that community, the identity of those people. It destroys the heart of that community. So we have to be very careful when we buy them and make sure that we don't fuel illicit art trade, which, as we hear daily, is linked to other crimes such as weapon selling and extremism such as ISIS.
So all of the beautiful mosaics and the tapestries, all taken, the frescoes, all taken from the churches, all taken from the different homes. How horrible.
Yes. Well, it is horrible because, as you correctly put to place, a fresco, what is a fresco? A fresco is a wall painting in a church that represents passages of the Bible. So in order to sell it, a mosaic or a fresco, that means one has to drill 20 centimeters, 30 centimeters, and extract part of the wall, destroying the surrounding of that head of an ascent, and then ship it in the most awful ways, in boxes, abroad, to find
yes.
its way to collectors' homes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And so, when did you begin your mission to start to really bring back the artifacts and bring back the cultural pieces
yes.
that were destroyed?
After the war, I found myself in the UK studying and then in Holland thinking that I'll stay there for a year or two until Famagusta opens. And until today, Famagusta is not open, so I'm not back. So I became an activist in Holland in my 20s, telling the Dutch people what really happened to me and other people in my country. And that led to me becoming the honorary consul of Cyprus in the Netherlands at the age of 27 years old. I was so fresh in the job, and the art dealers, controversial art dealers and art traffickers, reached out to me to use me or to sell their information so that Cyprus, the government or the church for the religious antiquities, would buy back all of these illicit antiquities that they sold worldwide. Now they were offering their services, information, to sell it back to my country. So, and then when I witnessed that, after bringing Interpol to them, I decided I'm going to stop them, because the Pandora box of war, that child within me, was so angry. And I thought, no, you can't do that. I'm going to stop you. But I never understood what I was starting then, because now, you know, 30 years later, I'm still fighting.
It's just so sad. It's part of, you know, it's bigger than the traditions. It really is.
Yes. Well, because in the Orthodox faith, in the Christian Orthodox faith, when we pray, we use these icons to, they're our windows to heaven. They're part of our prayer. So
yes.
it is infringing our religious freedom.
Are you there? Did we lose her?
She just dropped out.
Yeah, we lost her. The Icon Hunter is a beautiful book, and as a refugee, she turned culture crime watcher on a quest to preserve historical and sacred artifacts looted by the war. And she is slowly bringing back and trying to capture some of these priceless pieces. The book is called The Icon Hunter, A Refugee's Quest to Reclaim Her Nation's Stolen Heritage. And I really commend Tessula for doing this, because not an easy thing, because in 1974 she and her family were forced to flee their homes due to the Turkish invasion. And in search of a new future, she did settle in the Netherlands and became a successful entrepreneur. And she has served as the honorary consul of Cyprus in the Netherlands. And while holding this office, she spent more than two decades recovering the stolen cultural and religious heritage of her homeland, and which culminated in the 1997 case in which she started the Walk of Truth, which her mission is to engage the public to protect their own cultural heritage and raise awareness. And, you know, my late mother would also felt very strongly that memorials to different people that had passed on, and she said, you know, buildings can be destroyed. We have to really protect the heritage and of our people and of our culture. And it's such a sad story to see the relics of this world being destroyed by terrorism and different groups. So I commend her for her work, and the book is called The Icon Hunter, and Tasula is her last name. Is it's the website is Tasula, Tasoula, and the last name is HadJitofi. We'll be back in a moment. This is Frankie Boyer. Stay tuned.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Biz Talk Radio.
And welcome back. It is Frankie Boyer. We now are joined right here on Biz Talk Radio. We have Bonnie Compton with us, who has worked for more than 30 years with mothers and families as a child and adolescent therapist, parent coach, pediatric nurse practitioner, giving them the tools to parent mindfully and guiding them to wake up to what really matters to them as mothers. And she is with us today. The new book is out. It's called Mothering with Courage. And there are thousands and tens of thousands of books on the market. But this book really is a little bit different. Instead of giving advice on how to change your child's behavior, Bonnie Compton asks parents to focus on their own behavior. And it's such a pleasure. Welcome to the program, Bonnie.
Good morning, Frankie. Thank you so much for having me on.
So tell us what you mean by that comment, please.
The comment about focusing on your own behavior?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you know, we often focus on our children's behavior, right? And I often have many parents come into my office and want me to fix their behavior and fix their child. And my answer is always, they're not broken. Behavior happens for a reason. And when we can let go of our grip, need to control it to make sure our children are well behaved, we actually allow them to make choices through our guidance, through boundaries that we set, so they learn to become responsible for themselves. And so you mentioned about the number of parenting books. There's actually more than 100,000 parenting books on the market now.
Wow.
Yes, I know. There were 72,000 when I began writing this book. There's now over 100,000, so why do we need another parenting book? My book is different, and again, it is for moms, although dads would benefit reading this too. They can just substitute fathering in this. But I believe moms have the answers within, and what I have observed is moms are becoming more and more overwhelmed and reaching outside themselves for answers. So reading many of the books, and I often recommend, there's a lot of good books out there, but they go from one book to the next, and this strategy works for a while. Well, most of those parenting books ask the parent to focus on their child. My book is asking the mom to self-reflect, not because she's a bad mom at all. As a matter of fact, I've had moms who received advanced reading copies and said, I feel so much better about myself. I have been able to release the mama guilt, and I now know myself better, and I have a better understanding of my child. So, you know, the song, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me, that's really what happens here. It begins with a mom. And so she's given this opportunity with my book, Mothering with Courage, to find her own answers. So there are 12 chapters with sound parenting wisdom, advice in there, but not for me to tell moms how to do it. They will really discover through this book and through the journaling prompts at the end of each chapter what is important to them and to their family. So they come up with their own answers. And then they're no longer searching outside.
Do you think that it seems to me that the average age of mothers today in parenting has just gotten a little bit older. Has that made any changes in the way that
sure.
parents parent?
Right. Well, yes, some moms are choosing to wait. They have a career, and they are waiting until they're older. And what I have begun to notice is they have more life experience, and they often have more patience. They know themselves better. And so they're no longer looking at their child to validate them, who they are as a person. They know who they are. They know what they need in their life. And they often are calmer. They don't get so upset by things or take things personally. Now, that varies, of course, mother to mother. But I've had many moms say, oh, my gosh, I am... You know, say they had a child when they were younger and then one when they were older, they said, I am so much calmer about parenting and don't get so upset by the little tiny things. I don't sweat the small stuff. So I think it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. In your book, Mothering with Courage, Bonnie, you talk about the importance of setting aside special time, even if it's just 5 minutes with your child. It just seems to me that we're all... The busyness of life, you know, going from place to place to place is crazy.
It is, it is. It's actually been referred to as the disease of busyness that we all have here in our country. And, you know, when I actually give homework assignments to parents that carve out 15 minutes, and if there's, you know, two parents in the household, if kids are lucky enough to have two parents there, then they can kind of tag team with the kids. But often parents look at me like I have two heads. I'm spending so much time with them. I said, well, let's take a look at what the time is filled with. It's often an agenda. Did you do this? Did you do that? Now it's time to hurry up, get in the car, get your shoes on, taking them to soccer practice. You know, parents are so have centered their lives on kids now, which kids really didn't ask us to do. And so then they become resentful, the thought of, why doesn't my child appreciate everything I'm doing for them? Well, your child never asks you to put your life on hold and focus on them. And so when parents, number one, take care of themselves, moms in particular, one of the titles in my chapters in my book is Who's Taking Care of You? Carve out that time for yourself. But getting back to special time for children, this is where you're just hanging out. You're together. You just do something fun. And I often recommend, see what your teen, yes, they want to be with you too. I've had so many teens say, I just wish my parents would spend more time with me. But in a way, just say, hey, let's go do something fun. It can be something at home. It can be laying out in the yard looking at stars. But you're not trying to correct them.
I love what you're doing. Mothering with Courage is your new book. What's the best website? How can people find out about you and the work that you're doing?
They follow me on social media. It's Bonnie Compton Books on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can get the book on Amazon. And I'm heading out on a six-city media tour across the United States and would love to meet with moms. My intention in the future is to go to churches, schools across the United States. Moms.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bonnie, and thank all of you. This has been another edition of the Frankie Boyer Show for Biz Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Make it a great day, and as always, smile.
Even though it's breaking, when there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile.
opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.